Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Sends it out top. Three-pointer from Turner, and Turner buries it from straight on, and we are tied.
Bucks talk starts now.
Now it is two straight losses with the daunting prospect of moving forward without Giannis Antetokounmpo into a stretch of games against formidable foes.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, this one's a tough one. You drop back-to-back games for the first time this season. It was something that Giannis had said repeatedly, you know, a non-negotiable, that each and every time the Bucks had lost a game, we had heard Giannis refer to the following game as a must-win, and citing good teams don't lose back-to-back games. You didn't have Giannis for the second half of this game, and we don't know when you'll have Giannis here in the short term as he leaves with 3:03 remaining in the first half with a left groin strain. And, you know, when you saw the play transpire in real time, I think each and every one of us that saw it thought, oh boy, that doesn't look good. It looked like there was contact. When you saw the replay, you could see it's a non-contact injury. I thought it was interesting to hear Doc Rivers say after the game he thought the injury actually occurred earlier and that he noticed a couple of times where Giannis seemed to be grabbing or favoring the groin two separate occasions, and then ultimately that happens. You know, Doc had mentioned after opening night that the Kevin Porter Jr. ankle injury wasn't a good one, and that was going to be some time. Now, KPJ we don't know how long it would have actually held him out. We know he returned to doing some on-court work and then suffered a knee injury. But Doc basically gave the same message after this one. We don't know. He's got to have some imaging done. That's not going to occur until he gets back to Milwaukee. So you're not going to hear anything until at least tomorrow. And even then, it's probably going to be Wednesday that we get anything starting to trickle out. But Doc said, didn't seem good for the Bucks. Now, we can all search what is the timetable for return for a groin strain. Each and every case is going to be different. You're going to see numbers out there. It's not good. These are typically tough injuries to come back from because of how important that part of your body is for a guy that's playing basketball. Any type of core, groin, adductor, any of those types of injuries, you see guys take some time with those, and it's certainly not anything that you rush back from. We don't know the strain, the severity of it, if it's a grade one, grade two, etc. If it is the worst case scenario with a groin strain, you have probably lost him for the remainder of the season, if not until very late into the season and early in the calendar year of 2026. Your best case scenario with groin strains, it's probably a week to two. And if it's somewhere in the middle, it's a month to a month and a half, possibly, that you're looking at. And you're still doing this without Kevin Porter Jr., which I think we've seen aspects of where you really miss KPJ in the short term here. But it feels like a lifetime ago now that this team got off to a 4-1 start, that we were talking about a connected defense, youth and athleticism and energy that you were seeing with this group. The schedule is certainly a big part of it, and we've heard Doc Rivers point this out quite a few times. I've mentioned it. Dave Kane has mentioned it on the broadcasts as well. It's been tough. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's been a tough schedule in terms of the cadence of games for the Bucks. The unfortunate part is it is now converging where that cadence remains, and the teams, the caliber of opponents that you're playing is getting more and more challenging. And it doesn't let up until you get into the final day of November, final game in November. And even then, you get thrown right back into it in the first week of December, where you're going to play two of three games against the Detroit Pistons, who, by the way, have won 10 straight games and are the best team now in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be a big challenge, and we don't know what the timeline is for Giannis. Again, the very earliest we'd know would be sometime tomorrow afternoon. But it's going to be a challenge for this group without not only their best player, without the best player in the conference, arguably the best player in the league, to forge ahead here and not lose significant ground. That's the important part, too, because, look, as we sit here at 8-7, you're two games back of the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. That's what we've seen, all the talk of how bad, how poor the Eastern Conference was going to be this season. We've seen a lot of parity. There's a lot of teams kind of where the Bucks are. You know, you think about the Bucks, the Raptors, the Bulls, those types of teams. The Cavaliers are now 10-5, the Knicks, the Miami Heat. There's a lot of teams that are lumped in that range. So if you can just fight and claw and scratch your way, if you're going to miss Giannis for a significant amount of time, even if it's 2 weeks, let's say, you know, 2 weeks is still going to be six or so games. If you can just claw your way and win things defensively, that's the way you're going to have to approach this. Knocking down threes and getting a much more connected defense. But you're also going to have to win on the margins and do the little things to win these games. And that, quite frankly, is where we've seen this team struggle the most so far to start this season. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A tough one as they drop back-to-back games for the first time this season. But more importantly, they lose this game and they lose Giannis. And it's TBD when we'll see him make his return to the floor, as we expect to start to learn more tomorrow. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple of other interesting things here that we'll get into about the long-term prospects of potentially playing a significant amount of games without Giannis this season. We'll take a look at that. And I mentioned how bunched up the Eastern Conference is. We'll take a look at the standings, including the team, one I didn't mention, that comes to Milwaukee next, the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get you set for that matchup coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 118-106 is the final score tonight. I think the score is probably irrelevant to most Bucks fans. Same with the result. It's disappointing you lose and you drop to 8-7 now. And you know, we spent a decent amount of time Saturday after a very, very disappointing performance against the Lakers talking about what the numbers had suggested, certainly in the month of November, that this team hasn't been a good team in November. They had a stretch of 10 consecutive games where they rotated wins and losses. That comes to an end tonight. But, you know, it's a small sample size. You started the season 4-1, and you looked very good defensively. You looked different offensively. You had more shooting on this team. You still have the shooting, but they're catch-and-shoot guys that pair perfectly with Giannis, and you had more athleticism. That feels like it slowly started to leave, where just the flow and the pace that this team was playing with has kind of started to exit. It's kind of like the air being let out of the balloon here. But the defense has been the biggest issue. Your defense has been bad in November. It was okay tonight. There were moments where it was trending towards good. I think you saw a handful of possessions in the first half where they were very well connected and rotating around on the perimeter. But you can't say a defense is good when Donovan Mitchell does what he does tonight. Not just the 37 points. I mean, guys are going to score in the league. It's the efficiency that he scored with. And in some ways, you know, this game, the first half kind of felt like a microcosm of what we've seen these 15 games of the season. You got off to a great start, built up a double-digit lead. You're up 14. Giannis's presence was, you know, certainly felt. You were dictating everything against the Cavaliers, and it was for, what, all but the first 2 or 3 minutes of the first quarter, Giannis scored or assisted every single point scored in this game. And then all of a sudden that 14-point lead was gone. And, you know, even when Giannis went down, it was a tie game at that point. So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, I would anticipate he's going to miss time. with a groin strain. Now, the question that we don't have the answer to yet is, well, how much time? And again, there is no average amount of time. We mentioned very, very briefly in high level what the typical time lost to these types of injuries is. It all depends on what grade of a strain this is. If it's as bad as it could possibly be, you're talking about an injury that's going to take you well into 2026. Even if it's middle of the pack, it might take you into 2026. And your best case scenario, this is probably going to be a week or two that he misses here. So how do you start to turn things around with a team that was constructed around that player? Now, you've had guys like a Ryan Rollins step up and really show you an advanced skill set. And he's had some huge moments here this season, especially in the games that Giannis has missed. I mean, you think back to the Warriors game with the 32 points. You could see tonight, and I think you've kind of seen the past few games here. Ryan Rollins, I'm not saying he's been bad. He's been good. But the efficiency has started to change because people are aware of what he can do. Teams are aware of what he can do now. And teams are going to be even more aware and even more keyed in the minutes and games where you don't have Giannis on the floor. And it just changes the types of looks that you're getting. I think you gotta try to piece together some defensive wins here and just knock down threes, play defense, but you gotta clean up winning on the margins and doing the little things. And those, quite frankly, are the things that this team has struggled with in the month of November. You've gotten better at rebounding, you know, and I think at worst, you're okay rebounding the basketball tonight. You've been better in that regard. You out-rebounded the Cavaliers. I've mentioned this a handful of times. I don't like looking at the raw rebounding totals. It doesn't tell the entire story. You know, if you miss more shots than your opponent should have more rebounds. They're going to have more rebounding opportunities, so especially when every team but the Houston Rockets, you get far more defensive rebounds than offensive rebounds. So you got to look at rebounding rate. In other words, when you had the ball and you missed, what was the percentage of rebounds that you got versus the opponent? And that number has climbed for the Bucks. It has gotten better in the last week, really. I mean, it really started with the change to the starting lineup. It's gotten better. It still has plenty of room for improvement because this is an area the Bucks have been dominant at since 2018. And so far this season, they've been mediocre at best. So you've got to continue to rebound and show improvement there. Doc Rivers even said before the game tonight, you know, I don't know why. Like, we're not rebounding the ball right now, or we're not rebounding it as effectively as we should be, and that's something that surprises me. We mentioned after the Lakers game, after the Hornets game, actually, turnovers. It was big over the weekend, and kept saying, look, I know these numbers aren't great, but trust me, the Bucks are not a high-volume turnover team when you look at your turnover rates. In other words, what percentage of possessions where you have the ball does it result in you turning the ball over? The Bucks have been a top 10 team there. You wouldn't know that looking at the last three games here. And you got better in the second half tonight, but still, you've seen far too many games of late where they're at 20 or approaching 20 turnovers. And if you're not going to close out possessions by not rebounding the ball and giving your opponent second chance opportunities, some of the scoring totals we've seen on those second chance points by the opponents, like that right there is the biggest singular reason why your defense has slid to where it is. Prior to tonight's game, it was in the 20s in defensive efficiency. If you're going to give up second chance opportunities, you know, the old adage, you keep giving a team more and more chances, eventually, not only are they going to score, they're going to hit a three on you. And we've seen those second chance points balloon. We've seen points off of turnovers from the opponents really start to pick up in the past couple of games here. Free throws is the other big one. Like, these are all the things you would point to if you're not going to have a superstar and your best player on the floor and say, well, We got to win on the margins. And what's winning on the margins? Let's knock down our free throws. Let's defend without fouling. Let's close out possessions by getting rebounds. And let's protect the basketball. If you do that and you play defense, you're going to keep yourself in games, even if there's a talent discrepancy. You'll give yourself a chance to win. And then it's a matter of, you know, did you have the shooting variance? Did the other team turn the ball over? Did the other team miss free throws? Did you have a guy get hot and start knocking down threes? But if you're not doing those things, it makes the hill even steeper to climb if you're not going to have one of the best players in the world on the floor. And again, we don't know what the status is going to be in the short term or long term for Giannis. And I would say this, he has shown a propensity to be able to come back from injuries faster than you would anticipate. I think there's only one time where that wasn't the case. And, you know, as Giannis himself indicated well after that had transpired, it was never even close. You know, it was a very, very severe injury when we all became quite familiar with what a soleus strain is. You think back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, we all immediately went to the worst possible case scenario of he's not coming back, and that's going to maybe wipe out all of next season. And as we saw, he came back for the NBA Finals. So who knows is the point here. But to hear from Doc Rivers after the game, who we mentioned said something similar about Kevin Porter Jr. after that ankle injury in the first night of the season, Doc Rivers saying he'll get imaging on his left groin strain tomorrow. We won't know anything until tomorrow, but it didn't look great, I can tell you that. So I think it's safe to assume he's going to miss some time. Doing those things we just talked about, cleaning some of those things up, like, you unfortunately have no margin for error on a team without Giannis and a team without Damian Lillard and a team without Drew Holiday, a team without Chris Middleton, right? The talk of who's the second guy, who's the Robin to Giannis's Batman. Doc said himself coming into the season, I think we'll find out, and it might not be until the end of the season that we find that out. Maybe it is Ryan Rollins, and we already know that. But this was always going to be the worst case scenario, I suppose. Like, hey, if you hit a patch where things go south, it's going to be because Giannis misses time. Because when you look at the roster, it's not to say these players are bad, but there's a big difference from being a guy that's asked to shoulder and consistently provide that type of scoring and carrying that team versus a young group or youngish group that, you know, these guys that we're talking about to step up in that role have been largely unproven. And, you know, that's not a knock on a guy like Ryan Rollins. It's mostly because of, you know, his resume and his youth. But he has proven himself this season. But Ryan Rollins, your role players, Bobby Portis, Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony had a tough night again offensively, and that was another guy Doc was asked about before the game. And said, look, it we're not worried about these things because this is one of 82 games and you're going to go through stretches like this. Think no further than last year in your first 10 games of the season. Gary Trent Jr. started to knock down more shots in these past couple of games. He was struggling earlier in the season. But this is what the Bucks are going to be facing here in the short term until we find out and know what the status is of Giannis. You get 2 days off, and as Doc said too, you know, we're not going to have a practice or shoot around or anything tomorrow. They have a service day where they're going to be out there in the community, and that's probably a good thing. Get rest, get these 2 days off because of the schedule they've been playing with these 5 games in 7 days. Get your mind off basketball, and let's regroup for Thursday. But starting Thursday, I think it's safe to assume you're not going to see Giannis in that game against the Philadelphia 76ers. So you're going to need your role players to step up. You're going to need guys to provide you those moments. You're going to have to ask more Miles Turner. You're going to have to get that consistency from Ryan Rollins. You're going to need guys like Cole Anthony and Bobby Portis to give you scoring punch off the bench. This would figure to be a big opportunity for Jericho Sims as well, but your role players become incredibly important now. But the most important thing is to just execute, because of the margin for error or lack thereof this team now suddenly has. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. There is one, I don't want to spend too much time on it. There is one potentially interesting wrinkle. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we don't know what this injury is exactly. You know, as Doc himself said, we don't technically know that it's a groin strain. There has to be some imaging done and go through some more testing to see what it is and what the timetable is. But we'll just briefly touch on one interesting wrinkle if, in fact, we see Giannis miss some significant time. We'll get to that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk. 118-106, the final in Cleveland. Again, the score all but irrelevant. The story from this, when Giannis exits with 3 minutes left in the first half with what the team listed as a left groin strain, he will undergo testing tomorrow, and we will potentially have an update on the severity of it and any timeline for games missed or return to the floor as early as tomorrow. So that's what we're currently facing here for a team that has not looked good in November. They are now 4-6 in their last 10 games, and you have now dropped to a negative point differential. So in other words, your opponent is outscoring you nightly. You're scoring 117-plus points per game, just under 118 points. The offense has been more than fine this season, although it has now slowly dropped down to number 8 in the Eastern Conference in points per game. But the points you're surrendering, ninth most in the Eastern Conference. The defense is really, to go back to what we were saying before in your margin for error and winning the margins, your defense has to improve. And that's also a tall task to say, okay, your best offensive player is potentially going to be lost for some time. And, oh, by the way, that guy was, he's a good defender as well. And certainly a versatile one. So, you got to get better defensively. The tough part of this is, shot creation is going to be an issue, and I think we saw that in the fourth quarter tonight. We've seen it for stretches this season, too. When you had your full complement of players, it's interesting, you know, to add Giannis to the mix, to add KPJ, what you've seen in terms of growth from Ryan Rollins. Cole Anthony in that role has thrived, but with the injury to KPJ, Ryan Rollins has had to take on much more offensively, and I think with that, you've seen his defense take a bit of a step backwards, which is only natural with what he's asked to do offensively at this point. That's going to increase. Cole Anthony, too. Like, when you don't have Kevin Porter Jr., it puts you in a very precarious spot if Ryan Rollins gets in foul trouble, or Cole Anthony does, or a game where they just don't have it. Well, now you add Giannis to the mix, and your two guys to initiate offense are those two. That is it. You know, with no Giannis. So it's going to be a challenge, especially when you look at the schedule that the Bucks are taking on here. Again, Philly comes to town on Thursday. Right now, Philly's 8-5. Detroit comes to town on Saturday. Right now, Detroit is an Eastern Conference best, 12-2. That is the second best record in the league. Then you have the Portland Trailblazers on Monday. They've kind of been going through the same type of stretch that you have for these last 10 games, where they've been a 500 team, and we've seen that defense that looked otherworldly to start the season start to slide a little bit. They now have a negative point differential as well. Then you have the Miami Heat and New York Knicks in consecutive games in the NBA Cup, by the way. Those are two teams that are 8-5, 8-6. So you look at this Eastern Conference, and this is really the shame of it right now, is despite those things we pointed to, that the Bucks have not been doing good enough so far, despite up and down play for what, 2.5 weeks now? As of this moment, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 10-5 have the second best record in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks have now slid all the way down to 8th in the East, but 2 through 11 is currently separated by 2.5 games. Outside of the Pistons, nobody's running away from the field right now. So the opportunity is still there. It just becomes even more challenging if you're going to have to do this without Giannis, even if it's for 2, 3, 4 games. The other scenario I mentioned, that I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this because we need to see what comes from the imaging and what we're working here with Giannis first before you start to evaluate things. I mean, number one, this team is playing to compete and playing for the playoffs. And I know there was a lot of discussion about gap year coming into the season, and John Horst shot that down for the obvious reason, too. Like, you can't approach this season as a true gap year so long as you have Giannis, because, you know, he gives you a chance to win, number one, but the elephant in the room, too. Like, hey, we have to remain competitive and remain a team that we can show you we have a chance to win. We need you here. We'll continue to supplement around you, but that's our path forward. So that eliminates gap year. You know, a few of us have said, too, from the start, we can evaluate the roster right now, but I think that's doing a disservice to all of this, because if we've seen anything from John Horst in his tenure here running the Bucks front office, it is his willingness and ability to make those moves, and not only make moves that most of us would look at and say, well, there's no way they could do that. I don't see the Bucks having the assets to do this, this, or this. And lo and behold, they did. So I still don't think the roster that the Bucks currently have is the roster at the end of this season. But let's just say, and I hate to even do it, but let's say, not even worst case scenario, but this is a scenario where it's significant time that Giannis is going to miss. If that is the case, it's going to make it incredibly challenging because of what we just said. With how bunched up teams are in the East, it's a double-edged sword. It gives you an opportunity, but it also means, hey, there's a chance that you could really slide back if you're seeing teams like the Hawks, the Raptors, the Knicks and Sixers right now. The Knicks are the 5 seed. They were a team a lot of people thought would win the East this season. The Celtics, right? The Orlando Magic, another team, myself included, who many thought, well, there's a good chance, you know, teams like the Knicks and Cavs may approach this season and say, we know the playoffs are the most important part, so let's just kind of pace ourselves. The Magic have a chance to be one of the top 2 records in the East. Right now, the Magic are beneath you in the standings. So that's the double-edged sword, is nobody's running away with it. So, look, if you got Giannis, you got a chance to leapfrog a lot of these teams. If you don't, you got a chance to start to slide below some of these things, teams. The one thing I'll throw out there is this. A lot has been made about the Bucks' future holdings in terms of draft picks. And you'll hear everybody mention don't control their draft until 2031. That is accurate. They do have a draft pick this upcoming summer, however. And there's a good chance they're going to keep their own draft pick, because remember, this is a part of the Jrue Holiday trade. So they had a pick swap with the New Orleans Pelicans, where New Orleans could take the Bucks pick if it's worse than their pick. Now, New Orleans traded that last summer at the draft to get Derek Queen. They traded it to the Atlanta Hawks. So the Hawks right now get the worst pick between the Bucks and the Pelicans, and the Bucks would get the other pick. New Orleans gets nothing in that mix. Even if things go south for the Bucks, and if Giannis misses, let's say, more games than would allow him to be qualifying for individual awards, right now the New Orleans Pelicans are 2-12, and they're playing in a Western Conference that is, you know, on the surface, on paper, much more difficult than the Eastern Conference in terms of your nightly games. And they have a much tougher remaining strength of schedule than the Bucks. Granted, there's a lot that can transpire between now and then. But the point is, it would take a monumental collapse, like even beyond Giannis is out for the season, and we're not saying that, we're not suggesting that's the case, but I don't know if that would even drop the Bucks beneath the Pelicans. So as Doc said after the game, there's always a silver lining. I don't see the Bucks outright missing the playoffs. But maybe the silver lining is, if this knocks you back and you start to weave guys back in, Kevin Porter Jr., we think, is about 2 weeks away. Giannis rejoins the team, and then you become what you arguably were 2 years ago, where you're the quote-unquote dangerous team that's lurking as a lower seed, but you got Giannis returning. You got these guys becoming healthy. It's also going to result in a much better pick than the Bucks have had in recent years. So, again, there's a lot to get there, but that is one thing to file away. We still need to see what the timeline is for Giannis, and as we mentioned, they're going to get back in town probably 2 hours from now. And then Giannis will undergo some imaging tomorrow, and, you know, maybe tomorrow afternoon we'll start to get some updates on him. 118-106, final score tonight. Bucks lose to the Cavs, but Bucks lose Giannis in the first half with a left groin strain. More after this on Bucks Talk. Tough one tonight for the Bucks, who drop back-to-back games for the first time this season. But again, more importantly, they lose Giannis in the game to a left groin strain. And, I mean, we need to get more information on what it is that we're dealing with here. And as Doc himself said, we don't even know technically that it's a groin strain. That's what the imaging will reveal, not only if it's that, if it is a groin strain, what is the grade that we're dealing with here. So in terms of what does this mean for the Bucks season, or what does this mean for where they can finish in the Eastern Conference? Any big picture discussion, it's meaningless at this point until we know what it is. As I mentioned, we've seen both ends from Giannis, where he came back from what we all thought was, well, that's clearly an ACL tear, and not only is he not going to return in the playoffs, he's probably going to be out all of next season. He came back, 10 days later and won Finals MVP and led the Bucks to a championship. And we saw the soleus strain, which, you know, as Giannis himself said after that season, he was never really close to making a return. So we'll see what this one means. I threw the numbers out there as well. Like, you can look it up yourself and see what is the average time missed for a groin strain. It's very dependent on what type of strain it is. But I would also add this. If it is, in fact, a groin strain, and that's what we're dealing with here, even if it's not quite as severe, certainly as worst case scenario, but even if this is a grade one, which is typically about 2 weeks, I see no reason why you wouldn't be even more cautious with this because of the tone of this right now and what we're discussing for the Bucks prospects moving forward. If you don't have Giannis on the floor, like, we knew this coming into the season. We knew the stakes here. We came in eyes wide open and knew, well, if he goes down, none of this matters anyway, because this is a team that's, you know, built around him. He's the best player in the conference. He's maybe the best player in the league. If you're not going to have him, you're not going to have much, regardless of guys like Ryan Rollins and AJ Green and the group that they're making. It's not going to be enough against the other teams in the Eastern Conference. So his health is of the utmost importance. And even if this is far from significant and a very, very minor strain that he's dealing with, there is absolutely no reason, especially this early in the season, to not treat it as such, as if it were a significant injury and be even more cautious with him. Thursday night, the Bucks return home. And even if we don't have Giannis, which we won't know for at least a day now, even if you don't have Giannis, there is going to be something special happening at the arena on Thursday. We'll discuss and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. 118-106 final. Tonight, the Bucks lose to the Cavs. They also lose Giannis to what, as of right now, we think is a left groin strain. He'll undergo testing tomorrow, and we'll have a better idea then what the Bucks are facing here in the short and potentially long term. Was that bump by choice to like just call out for some help here? And
it wasn't, but I'll take the credit for it.
Was the tone of this too negative tonight?
Maybe.
I mean,
it's hard not to be.
It's hard not to be, but again, we don't know what the severity is of it. But this was the thing that none of us discussed because, you know, it's just like watching a no-hitter in baseball. Like, you don't want to jinx it, but hey, if Giannis misses time, this team could potentially be really up against it. So that may be where you're at. And unfortunately, I think this is the other thing which, you know, needs to be mentioned and not lost in this. You're still without Kevin Porter Jr. Like, could we at least wait until KPJ is able to return? Because I'm not saying Kevin Porter Jr. is the caliber player that Giannis is, but shot creation, and even the Bucks have been, I believe they've played the most zone in the league this season. They were at least in the top three. And Doc has said, you know, we're just kind of doing it, but our zone lineups are best with Kevin Porter Jr. So there's a lot that you miss with KPJ that I don't think many of us were anticipating coming into this season. But everything that we mentioned, a lot of it, it's irrelevant until we know what the status is of Giannis moving forward here. I mentioned, look, it's still going to be, for some of us, a special night Thursday at the arena when the 76ers come to town because, number one, Paul George made his season debut tonight. So you're going to get a Philly team that has played much better and similar to the Bucks in how they started the season. I think they surprised people. But more importantly, after years and years of waiting for the return, it was I think it was the 2019-20 season, the COVID year, that the Cream City jerseys made their debut. And then they had to get put on ice because of issues that the league had with the TV product and how close the tone was to the court. It made it difficult with ads on the floor. Then the Detroit Pistons had a bit of a creamish colored City Edition jersey last year, and everybody just kind of like, well, wait a minute, how do they get away with it? But Dustin Godsey of the Bucks had mentioned on one of our broadcasts last year, we fixed the glitch and they are making their return. And Thursday is when they finally make their return. So it is the first Cream City night at Fiserv Forum. We will see if Giannis will be available for that. Keep your eyes and ears peeled tomorrow sometime in the afternoon, and we'll see if there's any updates from the imaging that he undergoes. But a tough one tonight for the Bucks. And now we just hold our breath and see what the status is of Giannis. Thursday night, 7 o'clock tip, Bucks and the 76ers. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.